Good evening, August 21st evening. Talking about being deceived. And we started this out Wednesday night, which I thought was just a marvelous thing to learn and be able to show people why those prayer verses in the Gospels, you know, pastors put the guilt trip on you for not having your prayer answered when it wasn't, when that written to us. Again, they're written to the Jews. It even says that in there. It says, these prayers, your prayers will be answered like this as your request in His name, because you won't even be going to Jesus. You'll be talking to the Father after the second coming, when He comes down. After that's over with, then that's how this whole thing will take place. It says that right there in John. So those verses about God answers all prayer, and people wonder why He's not. They get mad at God. Can you imagine? I mean, here's God. He's done everything that He's done, written everything that He's written, preserved it, and brought it to us in a book that is that which is perfect. It's come. It's here. And I know Marilyn, you're trying to get people to, what do you give people to help them see the Bible is true? You give them the Bible and let them believe by faith. You know, I guess you can go to the Old Testament and prove history, but you can't even prove history with people because it depends upon what library they get their history from. It's Jewish history, but nobody believes Jews ever tell the truth. So, you know, it's by faith. And if people see us, our lives change, to see us quit worshiping idols and serve the living and true God and see what that means, they'll see that you have something real and it's supposed to be joy, full of joy and peace. And if we have that, as things are going on, they'll want to have what we have. That's the whole point of why Christ even went to the Gentiles, was to show the Jews that what we have, they could have had. And what people see that we have, they don't want more cases than that. We can tell them stuff, but we haven't been able to tell them anything true for years until now we got the Paul stuff, and they're so programmed against Paul. And Paul even says that they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're not able to. I mean, they're just not going to. And as this winds down, we wind up to go. And you want people to get it, but they have been taught so much against it, all these different Bibles, all these different religions, all these different churches, all these different follies, the pastors all saying different things. I don't blame them for not being interested. I'm glad I got in this thing when I believed the King James Bible was the Word of God before all this other stuff came onto me. And even how many years that I preached of Baptist teachings. So even I started to realize, wait a minute, this just isn't right, because A, it's not happening. B, it's not happening. And C, it's not happening. And then we see to follow Paul, and we see why. But this just, to everybody else, it's just another road that somebody went down, and he's right in his own eyes and all this kind of stuff. So we're looking here at what it is that deceives people and what is it that causes them, I suppose, you know, not to believe the Bible or not to go with rightly dividing or not to believe that these things would please God, et cetera, et cetera. And so this devil, this stranger, I call it words from the stranger, we read this morning that they're destroying people's faith. They're getting the folly of it all, and they're tossing it out the window. So they're casting themselves aside, turning aside after Satan, and he's bringing them in. And he's bringing them in with, let's go to Romans chapter 16. Here's one example tonight. Here's what the devil gets people with. And it's Romans chapter 16. And it's verse 17. How about if I go to Romans instead of Acts? Okay, let's go to Romans 16. Maybe that'll save what you're looking for there. Verse 16, verse 17. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now who is that? Let's go back to 17. Do you ever read your Bible, and when you get a verse and you stop and you go back and review the previous verse just so you can put it all in the context together with your brain here? So now we beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine, that's Paul's, which ye have learned, and avoid them. Why should we avoid them? Well, it says, for they that are such, you know, the ones that are contrary to Paul's doctrine, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Now here's how they do it. And by good words and fair speeches, deceives the hearts of the simple. It's just that simple. People's ears are itching for what they want to feed to themselves over their lusts, and they want to hear what they want to hear. And so as a result, they sucker into good words and fair speeches. And they deceive the hearts of the simple. I mean, there you go. So we're going to go from that pretense, I guess you might want to call it, or whatever you want to call that kind of a thing. And we're going to look at these things that convince people to go the way they're going. Remember we said this morning, convinces people about the situation that we explained. The situation today is every day is closer to the tribulation. Every day is one day further away from how this whole thing even got started. Hi, Floyd. Good to have you there. Brandy, Brianna coming in here. So, to bring you up to speed here, we are going to look tonight at what it is that people hear that causes them to be deceived. And I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things in general that I did a long time ago. We're going to kind of add to it here a little bit. 10 things that will cause people to be deceived. And 7 of those 10 things are good. They're good. And he tells us, here's the part that still trips me up, I guess, with people. He tells us in verse 17 again, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses." Now remember, the emphasis here is where it says cause divisions and offenses. Just about everybody doesn't believe in the Paul stuff, the risen Savior stuff. They don't believe in that. But are they causing division and offenses? Those are the ones we are to avoid. Are they causing you to be quiet? Well, that's your giving in. If you were to believe what you believe and say what you believe and without any problem, and if they don't get upset about that and start pushing and shoving and claiming this and claiming that, then everything's hunky-dory. Don't have to avoid them. Well, why is it that we have to be quiet? Why do we have to shut up to make everybody happy? No, we're not there to cause division and offenses. We're just there to tell people what we believe the Bible says, and we show them where it says it, and they get all tight about it. So they avoid us. But the problem here is, see, when it says, "Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned," this is from Paul. This isn't from Jesus' doctrine. So they can't claim this verse because they don't believe the doctrine from Paul. So, if they're going to cause a problem because we believe what we believe, then avoid them. Stay away. Stay away from the argument. Stay away from the hassle. But if they don't get upset by it, go ahead and talk with wisdom, and, you know, salt with a little, or a grace with a little salt, and, you know, show scriptures when they're interested, or perk them into this conversation. I think one of the things I'm thinking here is we want somebody to suddenly get a hold of this Bible and suddenly grab onto it and just take off of it. Well, I think those days are pretty much gone until they realize how rightly dividing operates, how it works. Then, yes, they can sit down and like all of us have been through, it just clicks. We start to get questions answered, contradictions make sense all of a sudden. There's not a contradiction at all. It wasn't written to me. You know, we understand about unanswered prayer. We just start recognizing stuff, and because of that, we start digging really hard. We enjoy reading and studying. But they don't do that. The modern Christian, you know, those that have a form of godliness, they don't want that. So the point here is, these folks, if they're going to cause a problem with you being who you are, with your Paul stuff, we're to avoid them. These people that cause problems, divisions, and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, these people serve their own belly. They do what they want, and they want good words and fair speeches. That's what they want. How was the sermon today? Oh, good. Oh, what did you talk about? Well, I don't know, but it was a good sermon. But he didn't pick on your head a little bit? He didn't try to squeeze you, and he didn't try to put something to you? No. He's a good pastor. He's a good man. fair speeches. Yeah, he talks pretty good. No big deal. That's what they want. This is what's tricking people. They want good words and fair speeches. This is somebody standing up there and saying, well, you know, I'm the devil and we're going to, you know. No, these are good words and fair speeches. Let's look at another one. So there's two things right there, one and two. Let's go to number three. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, let me ask you this. Who would you rather listen to? Somebody who takes the Bible, not a good speaker, but he shows you the verses that are written to us and helps us get ready, helps us decide. You don't have to do it or not, because all things are lawful. But he keeps picking on the same old verses and keeps showing stuff about Paul's doctrine. That's the doctrine we have learned. Or some guy that just gets up there and he's just good. You know, he's kind of funny and very enjoyable. You leave there just with smiles and fuzzy warm feelings all over. And that's what people want. And when you bring them to this situation, they're not going to leave with fuzzy little happy little fuzzies all over themselves. Nobody's picking at them, but the scriptures will. Let's look at this one, 1 Corinthians 2:4. This is what's tricking people. Let's not let ourselves get deceived. 1 Corinthians 2:4. I'm slow here. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My speech, which is Paul's, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Now, this whole little segment goes back about the fact that, you know, Paul is Paul, and all these people are wise in the brain, and they don't understand this stuff. This is foolishness to them. And Paul comes along and says, look at verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Him crucified will obviously include the fact that He says in Corinthians 5:15 that He's risen again. That's what this is about. Paul is not teaching Paul. Paul is teaching Jesus Christ. But Paul is teaching the risen Jesus Christ. The one that's been crucified. The one that rose again. What's being taught of the Gospels is the Jesus that has not been crucified yet. There's no Holy Spirit going to anybody yet. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And he says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Well, why? What is the problem with having a smart pastor guy? Well, it says verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Okay, so where'd you go to school? Well, I went to school with such and such and such and such. Ah, he's got a degree. He's a smart man. Does he rightly divide? Well, he divides by verse, so he understands how the different verses. No. We're supposed to divide by Paul's writings compared to everybody else's. If it goes against what Paul teaches, it isn't to be taught. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, your faith is standing in the wisdom of men. You want to find a pastor that's going to teach you the best way to teach. No. You want to find a pastor that's going to teach you the rightly divided King James Bible. Otherwise, you're wasting your time. Well, we won't be going to church. Well, okay. Would you rather go to church someplace and be la-di-da-d with some wisdom of man than biblical counseling from his college or from her college, depending on whatever? Well, Paul calls those enticing words of man's wisdom. That's manipulating right there. That's manipulating. Just take those verses about prayer. God will answer your prayer if you ask in His name. Okay, well, then why didn't your prayer get answered? Well, you probably didn't ask in His name. So that's not what it's talking about here. Or the one that says you have no faith. If you ask and believe, He'll answer your prayer. I guess you just must not be believing enough. He's manipulating. He's extorting. Pastors, they are extortioners. They try to get you to do right by scaring you to death, by putting the pressure on you. So Paul didn't go by enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul went in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now what does that mean? Well, keep looking at the verse. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, is your education again, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Then it goes down this chapter here where it says, you know, eye has not seen. Then we get all these stuff. Verse 10, God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So we have the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power by King James Bible. We have that which is perfect. When he says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, our faith is standing on what this Bible says. This Bible, this King James Bible, rightly divided, is the power of God. This is where we get our learning. This is where we get our guidance and our strength. Not from the wisdom of the world, not from the princes of this world. All that comes to naught. That's education. I mean, if these people back in those days would have had a King James Bible, you think they would have crucified the Lord of glory? They would have read the Bible and believed it? Well, they had scriptures they could look to. Yeah, Old Testament. And it was in there, but they didn't get it. So, number three, we've got enticing words of man's wisdom, and they entice us. And I think that we could be just as guilty if we are enticeable. Do we want to hear what we want to hear? Are you hearing that because you want to hear what you want to hear? Or that you know you're going to hear what you want to hear, or you're going to hear what the Bible says? Well, that happens to be what you want to hear. Well, that's because you guys are unique and rare these days. So we have people that are being deceived by good words, fair speeches, and enticing words of man's wisdom. And if we don't go along with it, we're crazy. Here's an example, another example. Man's wisdom. I think I said it before, but you might not all have been there. I received a handout. We've got the bikers playing around back outside here. The Harvey's. A bunch of them. What are they doing in town? The rally's over, folks. And I received this directive, or what do you want to call it, from the principal, where it said, scientists have discovered that it's better for kids to learn the basic facts of math before they get into the deeper things of math. Oh, you mean like learning the times tables and all that horribly boring stuff they won't do? See, it took scientists to convince this educational world that we need to go back to memorizing the tables. 5 times 5 is 25, you know. And what we're doing today is we want to teach these children why is 5 times 5 25. We won't study the tables, just learn the facts. And man's wisdom has finally come around the fact that, oh, wait a minute, we already knew this a long time ago. Man's wisdom took the tables away, and now man's wisdom is bringing the tables back, but the destruction has already been done. It's just amazing, the stuff I read, knowing where we've been with different things. Anyway, whatever. Let's go to number four. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are we capable of falling for good words, fair speeches? You know, the good speaker guys? Enticing? Are we enticable? Oh, I thought the Floyds were there. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. I'm going to drop them a quick note over here. Are you guys there? Oh, I see. Okay. Good. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. See, the devil works. He tweaks with this stuff. Tweaks with all of us all the time. And equipment and the internet. Oh, if we just could have a building and all be in the same town. Oh, we'd probably hate each other by then. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. Here we go. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Well, go back to verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words. There's those words again. Flattering. I'm going to sneeze here. So we're looking at flattering words. And that's just trying to flatter somebody. Telling you, well, that's a very pretty flower. And it's ugly. It's horrible. And he's got, went outside, he's gone outside the lines. Now he's not capable of going outside of staying within the lines. Then it's okay. But if he's flattered through the whole thing, he'll never stay inside the lines. This kid has to be told that one of these days, you know what, you're supposed to stay inside those lines. It looks a lot prettier, Junior. But we don't. We flatter people. Look at Job. Let's go back to Job of all places. Let's just do a short little study on flattery. Job 17, verse 5. Not Jeremiah. Job 17, verse 5. Okay, here we go. Job. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. Now, that's probably one of my favorite verses about flattery, is because if you flatter somebody, they're going to go blind. They're not going to see the truth. He that speaketh flattery to his friends, even the eyes of his children shall fail. They'll believe the flattery. And you and I both know, all know, that there's flattery oozing in our society today, in educational work. Flattery. Well, there's nothing really wrong with the answer, but let's try this answer. That's flattery. It's okay to know that you were wrong. Now, most of the time, your bosses don't flatter. They just tell, like, that's because we're getting into the real world. We need to make some money to make as much money as we can. But what do they teach you to do? Like Floyd's. Your boss is probably not a very flattering man, but you're supposed to put up a display that flatters people and wants to get them to want to buy from you. That's flattering. As a result of that, here it says, the eyes of his children shall fail. Flattery blinds people. So here we got these preachers standing up there with their good words and fair speeches and enticing words of man's wisdom, and they flatter the people. Well, of course he does. Look at, you know the verse. You know the verse. It's in Timothy. 2 Timothy. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You see, sound doctrine doesn't come with having itching ears. That's flattery, to feed that itch. And they shall turn their ears away from the truth. That's what flattery does to people. They don't want to hear the truth. I mean, the news, the computer chip is just readily available now. Let's flatter people, tell them how great it is for banking, how great it is not to have checks, and how great it is not to worry with cash, and how easy it is for you. Oh, it sounds so good, it sounds so good, it sounds so good. And they're blinded to the fact that the Bible tells about that chip. I was reading something where there's traceable elements in our clothes. And we think that's a marvelous thing. Well, then they can't take them out the doors and steal them. Well, yeah, but they can also, and they do, keep track of you based on your clothing. They can find you. Well, that's a good thing to find criminals. Well, yeah, but what if it's a Christian they're trying to find in a time of tribulation? Well, that's dumb. They're not going to go there with that. See, that's what flattery does. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's look at more flattery just for a minute here. Proverbs chapter 6. You ever find yourself flattering somebody to save an argument? You know, well, how did I do at work? Well, you did really well. I had to step in and fix it for you, but you know, you did really well. Have you ever tried to tell somebody something without flattery? They get hurt. They get offended. We've already been flattered. We're already blind. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. Thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Those are flattering words. They take you. They snare you. Look at verse 4. Why do I have verse 4 on here? Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Well, that one doesn't fit. Probably 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself, and thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself. No, just 2. I don't know why I've got 4 written on there. Let's go to 24. There it is. Put 2 together with 24. There we go. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. So now, if Ben's on there, Ben, now you guys, you made it there, Floyd's. Ben, you have to deal with good words, fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, and flattery. And one of the most dangerous ones to worry about are the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. They'll bring you in. That's what they say. What these ladies are saying to you. So chapter 6, verse 2, I like that. Snared with the words of thy mouth, I was taken to the words of thy mouth. But the best one is verse 24, which is what it's supposed to have been. Look at chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16. Here it is again. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even the stranger which flattereth with her words. So flattery is dangerous. Proverbs chapter 20. And everybody talks flattery. It's just everywhere there's flattery. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. There it is again. The talebearer is one that tells everybody everything else. So, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips, because he's going to be using that stuff to flatter you by bashing somebody else. And Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28:23. He that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Now, it's getting to be harder and harder these days, but it says, he that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Your boss is probably more along those lines. Floyd's? You ever tried that? Want to flatter? You get more out of the people, but it's the wrong way to go, isn't it? We have become so soft that we have to be flattered to respond anymore. Anyway, we'll go one more. Psalm 36, verse 2. Psalm 36, verse 2. For he that flattereth himself in his own eyes. You flatter yourself? Look at verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. And it goes on about the wicked. So, who's the biggest flatterer? Yourself. So there's flattering. Number 4. We've got good words, fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, and flattery. Here's another one. 2 Peter. Oh, 2 Peter. How are we going to 2 Peter? Because my point is this. We're going to see with the next points right now that these things that we're seeing are on the increase. So even though we're looking to some tribulation verses, we're looking at some verses that tell us that we already see it happening more and more today because this is where it's headed. Does that make sense? 2 Peter, I'll show you what I mean. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. 3. Let's read 2. And by reason of the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. So feigned words. This is the way it will be during the tribulation. They'll follow, many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make money off of you, make merchandise of you. Okay, now listen to what feigned is. Feigned is pretend words. Pretend words. To make a show with words, because they're not real. To represent falsely. Imaginary words. Something not real. Devised. So these with feigned words, and it says up there, verse 2, by of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of, they're going to make up their stories. And that's where it said talks about fables. Verse 1, it talks about false prophets and among the people, also among the people, even shall be false teachers among you who shall privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And they're going to use feigned words to make that happen. What are we getting more and more out of pastors today? More and more pastors are preaching feigned words. They're coming up with this stuff. Well, the Bible says what it says. But it doesn't say it all to us. It says all there for us, but what speaks to us is from Paul. No feigned words intended. They're not made up. We're not causing people to imagine something. We're not taking Paul's words and manipulating and devising something. We're not making a show. We're not representing anything falsely. We're doing exactly what the scriptures say. But these guys will, through feigned words, make merchandise of us, of them. So, you see my point about going on into the tribulation to see things that are taking place more and more today. It doesn't prove in the tribulation. It just shows that we're getting closer and closer. To me, it's like we're transitioning into it. And when it's actually official, boom, we're gone. Here's another illustration of what I'm trying to say. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Go down to verse 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they lure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. This is the way it'll be in the tribulation. No doubt. But we know it's not written to us. Look at verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Now that can happen to us. We could end up in a worse situation than we ever thought we would be. But this is not telling us we have not escaped the pollutions of the world. We can't escape the pollutions of the world. Paul tells us we have to leave the earth. So what he's saying here is these people in the tribulation, they listen to great swelling words of vanity. And these words of vanity allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. And wantonness is sportiness, is frolicsome, is, as it says, negligence of restraint. Nobody says no anymore. Nobody says, no, I'm not going to do that. Hardly anybody says, you know, I'm not going to participate in that manner. No, I'm not going to go to that activity because I know my family's there, but there's things going on that I shouldn't be around. You know, they're alluring through the lust of the flesh, the sportiness, this fun, frolicsome, negligence of restraint. God gave us things to enjoy, but the word fun is not in there. Fun feeds the flesh. So my point here is great swelling words of vanity. They allure, they attract. These great swelling words that these guys are so good at. Yeah, this will be tribulational stuff, but look at what's being said from the pulpits today. Nobody's teaching Paul. What are they starting to do? They're speaking swelling words of vanity, and they want to have fun when they come to church, and because they want people to come to church. That's what they want. They're speaking more and more swelling words of vanity. Look at Jude 16. These are murmurers. Now we know Jude is tribulation. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words. They know what to say to win people. So that's number six, swelling words of vanity. Number seven is still in Jude 16. It says, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now, read that verse slowly. These murmurers and complainers are speaking great swelling words, and they have persons in admiration. People admire them. They have an advantage over them because of advantage. These guys have got the skills. These guys have got the manipulating skill, the enticing words. They know how to speak these great swelling words and to reach out and tickle their itch, scratch their itch of that lust that they want to hear about. And it's because of that they have an advantage. And how many people, I don't have time to do this, I'm going to follow this man. In the tribulation, they're going to be following people because of their personality. Well, what do we have more and more going on today? We've got people, you know, we could sit down and we could list so many names of famous preachers, famous pastors, famous authors, famous musicians. And because such and such sang this or played this or said this or whatever, it's okay. Because they're going by the person, not the truth. Long time ago, there was an argument about music, and I heard the pastor say, well, just a minute, I'm gonna go see what Dr. Ruckman has to say about this. Well, why do you have to go to him? I mean, you got a Bible. So, that was probably 10 years ago. So we have people today that are falling for good words more than ever before, falling for fair speeches more than ever before, enticing words coming from the pulpit more than ever before. People are being flattered. We teach the school kids flattering. Everybody's being flattered. The preachers are preaching feigned, pretend sermons, pretend words. They're speaking more and more swelling words of vanity. And people are following the personality, following the person. Those seven things are all positive things. And who's against anything positive? Now, let's look at three more here. These are not positive. Third John. Look at John 3. Third John 3, verse 16. Can't be Third John 3, 16, because there's first 3 John 10. There we go, verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds while he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So when we're looking at malicious words. Malicious. And what's prating? Prating is talking much on a trifling subject. It's just a trifle of a subject to deal with here. To talk much and without weight or of little purpose. Like a run-on sentence. Pray, utter foolishly. Continue to talk to little purpose. So just, we call it yakking. That would be our word for it, be yakking. It's prating. And what is he prating? He's prating malicious words. Malicious. Harboring ill will without provocation, without reason. Proceeding from extreme hatred. So there's going to be people preaching and talking with intent hate, and the subject they're going to be preaching about is going to be just nothing. It's just yakking. They just have hate. They just have hate. And that's happening. Well, can you tell me why you're so mad? Well, no, I just am. We've probably been there. We probably get mad over little things. Maybe those little things aren't all that little. But if they are little things, we're being very malicious as we prate, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither does he himself receive the brethren. So during these tribulational days, and it's starting to happen more and more today, we've got these people that are talking about nothing, and they're getting angrier and angrier, and they're getting rid of us out of the situation. Malicious. If we go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, go to number 9. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Vain words. Worthless, empty, fruitless. Hey, deceitful. Not effectual. Won't do any good. Paul's words are not in vain. Paul's words are not vain. Great personalities don't speak about Paul's words. Paul's teachings are not words of vanity. They're not feigned. They're not flattering. They're not enticing. And they're not always good words and fair speeches. There's people that talk good with Paul, but don't fall for the person. Get into the words. And you find out that those are good words, but they aren't the right words. Good and right are two different things. Remember the sermons I did a long time ago? How does that go? Doing right, wrong, and doing wrong, right? That takes flattery. That takes good words and fair speeches to get people to do that. Vain. Don't let people deceive you with vain words, empty words. Put your scriptures behind it. Do they mean what they say? Then we go to Jeremiah for the last one, because it's just, you know, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23, and this is that chapter in there where he's talking about different people taking his word and changing it. So that's very applicable, Jeremiah 23, from that standpoint. We'll find a better said. Jeremiah 23, verse 36. The burden of the Lord shall you mention no more, for every man's word shall be his burden. Not looking at this story, I like how this is said here. For you have perverted the words of the living God. And we know that this is what's taking place today. We know that the Bible's out there perverted the words of the living God. If we take the Gospels and teach that as doctrine, we're perverting the words of the living God. He spoke those words, but we're perverting them. And those people who read different Bibles, they're reading not what God said, they're reading the perverted words of the living God, because they got all their Bibles were all taken from the King James Bible. The manuscripts of the King James Bible. So they're taking the words of the living God and they're perverting them. They didn't come up with these on their own. That's why every Bible that's out there, what do they compare it to? This is better than the King James Bible. That's right. You took the words of the living God and you perverted them. If anybody ever says this NIV is better than the previous NIV, they're taking perverted words and perverting them more. But they're not perverting the words of the living God. It's already been perverted. There are a couple of Bibles that have done that, but very few. So there we have tonight, 8, 9, 10, things that are causing us and everybody to leave their faith and to be seduced and be taken away, to turn aside after Satan. Good words, fair speeches, enticing words of man's wisdom, flattering, feigned words, swelling words of vanity, words spoken by great personalities, malicious words as they prate and yak with us, the empty words, vain, and they take the living word and they pervert it from the living God. This is what's happening to people all over the place. Be glad it's not you. But don't be so proud of yourself and so keen on yourself that if you don't stay in that book, you'll fall for the good words. You or your family will want a pastor so badly, a church so badly, you'll give in to the good words and fair speeches. You'll give in to his personality. You know when you're hearing feigned and vain words. And you know when you're being flattered. And you know when they're using enticing words of man's wisdom. And people follow pastors that have that education, and they can be enticed. Because this guy's got a lot of worldly wisdom. We don't want worldly wisdom. We want wisdom from God above. Let's not fall for those things. Don't be deceived. But it's happening more and more. I'll end with Romans 11:22. Well, of course it's going to happen more and more. The more people get tired of God's goodness and gets away from it, the Gentiles, then he's coming back. And we know that most people don't want to hear from Paul's stuff. They want to do the good words, fair speeches, personality. Here, in 5 seconds or less, name me a famous personality. Charles Stanley. And we can all come up with one. And they fit the bill already. And there's more and more coming. More and more coming. So, there you go, folks, for tonight.